Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 34, Tom.
Yeah.
34.
It's as old as I am.
That's an old man episode. So to help us with an old man episode, and
another old man, an older man.
What an intro!
Make you feel young.
Ooh. And the youthful side will be played by Steph Tidy.
Tidy,
welcome back.
Thanks. I'm still older than the episode, but I'll take the youthful side.
Look, she's honest.
It's all relative.
That's right. That's fantastic. We've got a lot to get through, as we always do. Got a couple of spoilers that I think Steph and I will be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
When I say a couple, I've just realised it's one. But that's okay. That's we'll put that right at the very end of the episode. We've got a quiz that's going to be a lot of fun and potentially embarrassing for me, but we'll see how we go.
Sweet.
Even
yeah,
better.
I know. Tom, you've been watching a lot of trailers.
Yeah, there's a bunch of new stuff coming in the next few weeks.
Ooh.
Strap in.
Look out. That makes sense because the US is having school holidays.
That's right.
Sorry, vacations.
So there's a lot of summer programming coming
out. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It'll be exciting. We've also got some Beyonce sort of news, arty Beyonce news.
Are we going to dissect Lemonade?
No, sort of. No, cool. It gets better. It's a step aside from that.
Oh.
I know that, Ando, you've been playing a bit of Fortnite.
Just a bit.
Steph, I know you've been watching a bit of Fortnite.
Yeah, I'm a watcher.
She can't play. And we've got bits and bobs as well. First off, though, we should probably get into this Beyonce story. Mm. Well, I say Beyonce, but I'm actually talking about Beyonce and Jay-Z and the Louvre. Otherwise known as the Louvre. I feel that the French always do a little bit extra when they say the Louvre. Louvre.
Louvre.
Well, that's where the word garnish comes from, isn't it?
What? From the Louvre?
Isn't it French garnish?
I don't know. I'll take your word for it.
Let's go with that.
Garnish.
I love the silence from the three of us.
Now I feel like I need to change the story to say that Beyonce and Jay-Z have thrown some parsley over the Louvre. That's some garnish. Amazing. But you know how they did that amazing arty film clip in the Louvre? Well, apparently the Louvre was so impressed with it that now they're going to offer people a 90-minute tour. Of the Louvre, Beyonce and Jay-Z style. You get to walk over and see where they posed in front of stuff.
It's an easy way to make money for them on the coattails of Beyonce. Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Bit of extra cash.
But and surely they would have paid the Louvre to film
you just
in
sound
there.
Like saying Louvre.
Louvre.
Is there drinking involved?
I don't know. Should there be?
Oh, to replicate their lifestyle, yes.
Take a hip flask.
Bit of Cristal.
Exactly.
Yeah. No syrup, though.
No syrup. Maybe
they don't do that.
But I think there needs to be some element of lavishness.
Mm. That's true.
Otherwise,
or at least some sort of 1980s suit, because the one that Jay-Z was wearing looked very 1980s.
Sure.
A 1980s pimp is what it looked like.
Yes.
He's just missing the hat is all he was missing.
But like if you do the Sex in the City, Sex in the City tour in New York.
Yeah, that's
there's
true.
Got cocktails and maybe, that sort of stuff.
Maybe they finish with champagne and caviar at the end.
Oh, there you go.
No, Napoleon's apartment.
That's the premium version. It's extra.
You pay extra.
Yeah.
Is that called the lot. Napoleon Bonaparte?
Oh, very good. I love it. But do you really think the Louvre needs extra people coming along? Have you been to the Louvre before?
Yeah.
I was near the Louvre.
That's close. Well, you saw how all the people are in the lines.
Yes.
They don't need an extra Jay-Z and Beyonce line, do they?
Probably not.
You're bringing the money.
But, you know, it's all about, you know, there's someone there tasked with beating last year's budget.
Yeah. Mm.
True.
You know, you don't get your bonus if you just do what the last person did.
That's right.
Maybe it's a way of splitting the line, one away from Mona Lisa, the other side goes to Beyonce.
Yeah.
You know?
Think of the hashtags. There's great viral content in that.
Queen Bee Moaning Lisa.
Moany Lee.
Moany Z.
By DB.
You shouldn't have asked us to think of the hashtags. We clearly are not going to get the common ones.
We also wouldn't be able to spell what we just said.
No.
No idea how to spell any of that.
I don't know enough about art to make hashtags. Like hashtag paint.
Hashtag canvas. Hashtag don't understand.
That's art. Hashtag too cultured.
Know what I like.
Yeah, that's right. And what I like is good. But obviously, the Carters, as they're affectionately known, as know what's good because they got the whole lure to themselves for that night. I think there was a night shoot. I doubt very much they would have filmed it during the day and said, sorry, everyone. Yeah. Imagine if that was your only day in Paris to go and see stuff and it was closed thanks to Beyonce and
Jay-Z. The Carters are filming.
Man, you would not be impressed.
Hashtag robbed.
Hashtag not happy. Like the Kardashians in Paris.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I wouldn't be happy if I saw them either.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Let's get to a little happier news. Kerry Russell, going to be in the new Star Wars. So that's episode
9.
Yeah, so she's going to be in there. Do we know what part she's filming?
Felicity.
Okay, so she's Felicity
Skywalker.
In it. Amazing.
A
so
Russian
excited.
Spy.
Maybe.
Yeah. Felicity was J.J. Abrams' first show.
So
really?
Did she audition then?
Probably not. He probably just got on the blog and said, hey, I know you've been busy with the Americans.
You've just finished.
Yeah,
that's finished, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Why don't you jump on over?
And be who do you reckon she is? See, this is my theory, Ando. This is my theory.
Like a good theory.
Ray's mother.
Ooh.
So it's either a flashback.
There's a similarity. They look similar.
Mm-hmm.
I could buy into that theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got to be someone of note.
Yeah.
Who isn't Laura Dern, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have Laura Dern again. We obviously can't. But, or is she going to be somebody?
Would she do a Leia thing?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, is
in between?
Yeah.
Is she going? Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do the Leia thing. Mm-mm. That's still a bit of an intrigue. Have you heard any rumors, Tom, about what they're doing with Leia? Not at all.
No.
They're keeping it under wraps, aren't they? Very much so. But Kerry Russell, I'm excited, but I'm really only excited because of the main storyline. I'm hoping we get to find out more about Ray in the third episode, which is the 9th episode, which is not going to tangle.
The maths is too much.
And it's a fair while away. I think we've still got another year.
Yeah.
They only just started shooting, is that right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, I've gotten emotional. It's quite emotional. Yeah, I didn't realise J.J. Abrams was going to be directing this one as well. I thought he was just sort of doing the first one, Force Awakens, and then going off into
that was the plan.
Ether.
And Colin Trevor, who did Jurassic World, was slated for episode 9.
That's right.
And then behind the scenes things didn't quite work out.
What's the rumor? What happened?
There's two sides to every story.
Give me the more controversial.
Okay. Yeah.
More gritty one.
Apparently he can be quite difficult to work with.
Okay.
He's rather controlling and stuff, but that has worked out for films in the past, and he's back doing Jurassic World 3 at the moment. There's also the other side that Kathleen Kennedy, who is head of Star Wars, they've gone through the two guys that were on Solo and then had to go. Yes, there's been issues both sides.
All right.
Yes.
I imagine directors are generally pretty difficult as a rule.
Yes.
So that's saying something if he's considered.
Been fired.
Yeah,
for it.
That's right. Like, whoa, okay.
I think it's also Star Wars are very much following Marvel's model of they want to have one person in charge of everything making the call.
Okay.
They're asking people to come in and make films in their universe, but they're expecting them to adhere to very strict rules.
Yep.
And Marvel's is. That's how it's always been, and that's how it will be.
Yep.
You know that going in.
Yep.
Where Star Wars, they're like, oh, we'd love you to make a comedy action film like Solo, and then they go and make a comedy action film, and they're like, oh, no, not like that.
Yeah.
The brand is too valuable to tinker with.
Yeah.
Yes.
I get that.
Yes.
Change is risk.
Exactly.
And JJ seems to be the golden child because Force Awakens was such a great reintroduction of Star Wars after the prequel.
Yeah.
So there would have been a lot riding on him. But
It was, but he did play it pretty safe, though,
didn't
he?
It was safe.
He basically just said, I'm going to make the first ones again. And he did it well.
We were happy with that.
I mean, everyone was happy with
that.
But it proves the theory that you don't change it.
Yeah.
You know, just this, we know this works. Let's just do that.
And then
nice and safe.
Stick with the brand.
Make billions of dollars.
Yeah. Billions of dollars, exactly.
I remember when Disney bought the rights to it. I'm going to forget the number, but it was insane.
Mm.
And the finance community and all the analysts were like, it's ridiculous. How are you going to make your money back off that?
Yeah.
And they have easily made their money back.
Three films.
Yes.
Wow.
And they've got the rights forever. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, our grandkids will be watching Star Wars movies, yeah, and that is just such a great investment. Well, Disney, another little sorry.
No, this is good.
You've got a finance guy on the podcast.
I'm going to
veer into that. Disney, I'm going to forget the exact stats here, but in terms of a studio, has ranked in the top 10, I want to say, sorry, even the top 5, by a huge margin consistently over the last 3 years. If you look at all the number one grossing films, Disney is up there. They have got it down to a fine art. Good share to buy by Disney.
Yeah.
As of last week, they're responsible for 22% of this year's box office.
There you go. That's a number. Yes.
Insane.
Yes. And they've done that in the year before and the year before that. You know, it's way
and
up
we'll
there.
Continue.
And we'll continue.
Well, they're in such a crazy position of like last week they put out Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
And then a week before that, they put out Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks before that was Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
And they've just got so much that they're stepping on themselves.
Yes.
Yeah, they're saturating the market.
Yeah. So they've got to keep shifting around. That's
and
what happened
with all
Solo.
Those sequels too. It also shows that model of stick with what you know.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. You know? And people are enjoying them. And yeah, the Solo figures were nowhere near as much as what they wanted. They were still pretty good.
Mm. Not bad.
And if you speak to people who have just gone in going, yeah, I'll go and watch a Star Wars film, not going, I'm going to watch a Star Wars film, they all left the movie saying,
happy.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I don't know what the big deal was. It was a lot of fun. Having not seen it yet, I don't know what's stopping me.
I don't know what's stopping me.
Like, I know, Andrew, you're a Star Wars fan.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I've got Star Wars fatigue. And I'm my own worst enemy because every time I know a Star Wars is coming, it's like, oh, I get super excited. And then I build it up to a level that can never be satisfied.
Yeah.
Like even when it's fantastic, you know, I'm disappointed because it's impossible to meet my expectation.
Yeah.
So with Solo, I just figure, I'm just going to leave this one, wait, and then I'll catch it at some point when it gets released on Netflix or something like that.
On a Sunday
and I'll probably really love it and I'll really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you so may be theory. Sad that you didn't go and see it on the big screen.
Exactly, there's the irony.
And then the build-up happens all over again. I know I've spoken about this before, but Star Wars has the problem that I think Marvel doesn't have is that it is – the expectations, like you said, are so high. It's because of our nostalgia levels are just off the charts. Yeah. Like we grew up loving Star Wars and anything short of building, you know, hitting that nostalgia level and also carrying it forward storyline wise for us as adults, that's a hard ask.
Yeah. But still having the market open enough to bring in
the kids.
Yeah, the new generations who didn't grow up with it, with the nostalgia.
I think if you'd never heard of Star Wars and then you saw the original trilogy today, and that's even aside from the special effects and all that kind of stuff. Even if you were to sort of make the exact same movie modernize it, I think you'd still be like, that was okay.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be anywhere near the same level. But your 12-year-old self thought, fantastic.
Yeah. And, I'll watch that 7 times because I hide it out on a weekly.
It's 7 just in 1 week.
Yeah,
that's right. Obsessed with it. Speaking of obsessed, Kevin Spacey was obsessed with certain people over his career.
That's
an interesting segue, Leah. Thank you.
Nice one.
Yeah. Now, Robin Wright has gone on the US's version of Today show, which is Today. And she's done a whole lot of
distancing.
We only knew each other, but during Action and Cut.
Yeah.
Only knew each other during those scenes. Of course, he was fired from House of Cards for all those accusations. But they're finishing up House of Cards without him, which is great. So she takes the lead role. And obviously Netflix have gone, okay, this is what you need to say.
No.
We can't ignore the elephant in the room, pretend that he was never a thing. So she's had to address the fact that he's no longer there. And one quote was, Kevin and I knew each other between Action and Cut, like I said, in between setups. We would giggle. I didn't really know the man. I just knew an incredible craftsman and that's it. Like how...
Well, Guy Pearce has backtracked on his comments.
Hang on, what did Guy Pearce say?
So I can't remember the name of the show, but Andrew Denton's new conversation show
like
that they
the
do.
Enough rope
yeah,
format.
That sort of thing. Yep. And he had said that, you know, back when they were filming LA Confidential back in the 90s, that, you know, he was a great actor, blah, 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 but he was quite a handsy guy. And since then, he's come back and backtracked and said, you know, Well, yeah, he was, but I didn't have that much to do with it. And, you know, at least I was 29, not 14, which is a big kick in the guts. Yeah, so I think everybody's trying their hardest to distance and make him a bit of a pariah.
Can I ask, it's a bit off topic, but how did they write out his character?
Because
it's such a fundamental, well, he's obviously the central character. The and just to, like, does he just get hit by a bus or something and then
it's
move
happened
on,
before
or?
On that show.
On the train. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
To be honest, I did lose interest in House of Cards.
I really liked it for a point.
Yeah.
And, yeah, me too. Yeah.
Tom, did you ever get into House of Cards? It was pretty full on.
Nope.
It was one of those shows where there was intrigue because, like, everybody's a bit evil. Is he evil? Is he not? Is it just me? Am I interpreting him incorrectly? Is that just what – did it need to be that driven in order to get to the White House? And then, yeah, things started to happen. You're like, oh, cool. This is a storyline I didn't see coming, right? That train was really from the left wing, and then suddenly it all got really convoluted and I didn't understand what was going on. Then I just stopped watching.
Yeah.
For me, my interest extended no further than that meme of Robin Wright with all the numerical equations coming up in front of her head.
Right, and that's where it ends. Yeah,
okay. It's a handy meme to use.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Nice podcast. They make them for men.
Now we were talking about trailers that you've been watching. Lay them out.
Okay, some new stuff.
Get us excited.
So you know, I love Snoop Dogg's game show. That's wrapped up for the year, which is a shame. But there's one coming called TKO Total Knockout.
Ooh. And is it like It's a Knockout?
It that's sure the name is. Of the guy right. It sure is, and it's hosted by Kevin Hart.
Oh,
so that will be aggressively hyperactive. There will be a lot of shouting and jokes made about his height.
Yeah, so, yeah.
It'll be rubbish, but I'll watch each week.
Do you reckon The Rock will go on?
Probably.
Because The Rock's done stuff with him before.
When Skyscraper's coming out, he'll go on for sure.
Yeah.
Ah, the promo.
Work that. Yeah. Well, yeah, and they're going to start filming Jumanji 2/3, whatever you want to call it.
I don't know what to call it.
Mm. Yeah, I think they're doing that later this year.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
I'm calling it 3.
Wow, that came around quick.
It made like more than $1 billion.
I went and saw it at the movies. I liked it.
It was great.
I took the kids. Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed
Jumanji
it.
Jumanji 2 was a huge
earner. I think it might have
been Universal's largest earner last year, something like that. They made a bucket load. And so they've just shown up at The Rock's house with a dump truck full of money and gone, let's do it again.
Wow. And how did it compare to the first one? Did it refer to the first one?
It was very different to the first one. Yeah, it kind of did because the first one was a board game and this one was a video game.
Okay.
And you kind of sort of see it morph and do that kind of stuff. But other than that, it was very different.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
There was one nice shout out to Robin Williams, that one character who... For anyone who hasn't seen, I won't say who, but is living in a woodland shack, and there's a sign on the wall that it was built by him.
Oh,
cool.
It's
just really, really subtle in the background because his character's name is Alan. It says Alan in the background.
Oh,
that's
great.
Nice.
As far as it really goes towards linking to the first, other than thematically, but it really worked. It was nice.
What was the other one that was kind of like Jumanji? It was a space one. Oh, I saw it just the other day on Netflix with my boy.
Watched it all?
I did, yeah. It's going to come to me in 10 minutes. I'll blurt it out.
And you'll just shout at us. Okay, fantastic. Well, of course, if you have also seen it and perhaps you're shouting at your phone or car right now,
I'm Googling.
Oh, he's Googling. Fantastic.
Zathura.
Oh, I think, was that directed by Jon Favreau?
Zathura, a space adventure, 2005 film, directed by...
2005, gee.
Tim Robbins was in it.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's very Jumanji-ish. Mm. The same kind of thing.
Okay, cool.
Directed by Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
You are good.
Another Favreau-verse.
You'd be great in a trivia night if it was just about that. Fantastic.
Jumanji-like movie.
Yeah.
I'm very good at selecting
the round.
So Bobcat Goldthwait has a new show.
What?
Yes.
Hang on. From Police Academy.
From Police Academy.
So he's still around?
He's been a director for the last 10 years and
really?
He's made some of the most fucked up films I've ever seen.
Like, what's he done?
So he did this really, really awful one of,
what a review.
It's a guy that just kind of, okay, do you remember that movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas?
Yes.
So imagine that, but the person falls down over reality television and can walk into different reality shows and kill all the characters.
Okay.
Yeah, so he goes on a killing spree across
America. I have to
America.
Say, that sounds actually pretty over that fantasy when watching various reality TV shows before.
It is.
I can see the motivation.
Yeah, there's some really funny bits in it, but it's horribly black comedy. Wow. That's kind of his style.
Okay.
So he has a new TV show called Bob Goldthwait's Misfits and Monsters, and it's an anthology show in the style of a Twilight Zone.
Yeah, right.
He directs all the segments without being in them and stuff, but he's got some really top-notch, big-name comedy people looking like they're coming on doing an episode each.
Yeah.
So that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it does.
I'm hoping it's going to be like a Drunk History style short format, three stories an episode or something like that. Yeah. But I'm really on board for this.
So where would you think that would be broadcast? Like which network? Is it a Comedy Channel thing?
It might be a Hulu or an online thing only.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I only saw a brief fleeting trailer for it the other day, and I'm going to find out more about it because that's
interesting.
If it's on Hulu, it takes the place of Handmaids for the year, and people are like, it doesn't feel
in the off season.
It's still quite dark.
Viceland have a bunch of new shows coming back because they tend to do things in weird blocks, 10-episode blocks, different to everyone else. So they've got one, Fuck That's Delicious is coming back.
Oh.
Tidy, that's one you'd like.
Yeah.
So that's Action Bronson, who's a giant Armenian-American rapper, redhead guy. You know I love his untitled Action Bronson show, which is a talk show slash cooking show thing. And this is him and his other rapper mates. They go on tour around the world and go and check out cool restaurants and stuff. So last season...
Where do we get that gig?
I think I'd be really good at
that. They go really offbeat places. So the episode last season when they went to Sydney, they went and hung in Cabramatta.
Ah, cool. Wow, and nice.
It's that sort of level. They're not interested in going to your fancy restaurant or anything like that. They're going to go and, you know, they did one in Fremantle over in Perth and they hung out with a guy whose name is Yoda because he knows all the right things to pick in the sand dunes. And he made them like braised kangaroo tail.
Ooh. Oh wow!
And it looked really good.
Nice.
Yes. So I'm psyched for that. Most Expensivest is coming back, which is 2 Chainz' show, where he goes and reviews the most expensivest things in the world. It's so good. It's just a really rich rapper with great style hanging out, and he's like, "So today I'm going to try 5 of the most expensive Cuban cigars in the world, but before I do that, I need to smoke lots of weed." So just hang tight.
Just hang tight.
Yeah, it's very casual and laid back. And another one, which could go either way, but it's called Hollywood Love Story with Paris Hilton.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I haven't seen her
in a long time.
In general, for years.
So this is a show about the dangers to the soul and the psyche because of social media stardom.
Interesting.
Which I don't think you could find a better host for celebrity, celebrity not for a good reason, and trying to keep that limelight going.
Mm. I don't know that I have sympathy though. Like if that's it's the not angle her. That she's going for.
So she's just the host. It's not about her. It's actually following 6 or 7 people that are YouTube or Instagram stars. Cool. So you've got the people that have got 10 million followers right down to the guys that have got 4,000.
Yeah.
And they look at themselves in the same light.
Okay.
And it's this sort of thing. So the trailer made it look very happy and like, they have fun. And then when the cameras stop rolling,
what happens?
The psychological toll chasing likes is having on these people.
Wow.
Mm.
So it could be a really, really dark reality show.
That sounds interesting. I actually saw an interview the other day with the world's richest YouTuber, Dan TDM, who does a Minecraft show.
Okay.
I've got an 8-year-old boy, so he watches a lot
You've
of
seen
this.
Them a lot.
I've seen a lot. And I know the voice from from the other room. I can hear him talking.
Yeah.
It drives me insane. Anyway, he made 12 million pounds last year. So let's call that 30 million Australian dollars just from advertising. He did a tour. It's amazing.
It's insane.
But he seemed really grounded. I've got to give it. Yeah, he seemed really, level-headed. I don't know. He could be complete prat off air. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't like him because he's 24 and he's got 12 million pounds last year. So he plays Minecraft.
But isn't he worried, and maybe he speaks about this, I don't know, but isn't he worried that he's only playing Minecraft?
Well, his...
Oh, you think he's too niche at 12 million pounds?
At this point, Minecraft has been around for years, but there's got to be an end date.
Well, I've seen another interview where they so when you're trying to sort of get into this YouTubing kind of thing, it's a very saturated market. So his advice, well, one of his pieces of advice was you've got to go niche. So if he was starting to do Fortnite or something like that, well, there's other people who are known for that, who have got the audience for that. So, you know, and all he's going to do is upset these huge followers that he has who want the Minecraft stuff. So, you know, it's kind of give the people what they want. Mm. So and they actually said, well, what do you do when it's over? How long do you think it'll last? Yeah. I don't know, but I'm going to keep doing it
while it's there.
Until it doesn't work, you know, and he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I think Minecraft, there's no real end date because there's no end of that game. Mm. But more importantly, there's new kids all the time, and that is an introductory game. That is a gateway drug to gaming.
And they are releasing mods all the time.
So it's constantly changing.
Dan does. Like, you know, when he's doing his channel, he doesn't actually play Minecraft anymore. He plays, oh, this week we're trying this latest mod out. And they do that for a little bit. And then it's this one. And yeah, it's amazing. And you do it a lot. You focus on a niche. And there was another one, frequency and time. I think it is a science. They no one really knows the Google YouTube algorithms, but they've got a sense of it. And once you know what ranks well, you just play to that.
Sure.
And then it's a self-perpetuating cycle. You know.
Yeah.
So. I wonder how he went with. Was it last year they had the adpocalypse? They called it on YouTube, where suddenly a lot of channels, all of their advertising revenue just got cut.
Yeah.
Either completely or dramatically. I wonder how that affected him.
So what some of them have done, perhaps I've gone so way off topic with this, but what some of them have done is that they've created a brand in and of themselves. So YouTube is the platform that they do. But so he just said, I'm going to go do a tour. And he went around to all the major cities in the US and he charged tickets for that.
Yeah.
And he played Minecraft on a stage with a microphone. And so he's going like, well, screw you,
YouTube.
He's
sold
his merchandise. They've got all this other kind of stuff. Mm. And I think YouTube has realized that actually it's a genuine win-win. You know, we've got eyeballs.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, or we're an advertising platform.
Yep. Yeah.
And if these guys aren't on here creating free content for us, well, we don't have the eyeballs, therefore we can't change for the ad. So it's silly for them not to give them that.
Yeah.
Boggles the mind, doesn't it?
How much was it? 12?
More than we're making. Let's just call it
million pounds. Oh my god!
Last year, just last year, he's been doing it for years.
That's insane. Yeah.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
We're going to get to some more gaming talk in a little bit, but Tom, any other trailers watching?
Two more. So one is something that might be airing right now or something like that, but it's for the History Channel. It's called Evil Live. Evil Knievel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So Travis Pastrana, who's the main guy from Nitro Circus and one of the best stuntmen alive, he is recreating Evil Knievel's three biggest tricks.
Fun.
Oh. Wow.
In one day. With the technology from the time of Evel Knievel. And two of these nearly ended his career.
So wait a sec. When you say, do you deliberately use the word tricks? Were they not?
No, sorry. Stunts.
Oh, okay.
Stunts.
I thought maybe he... It wasn't what it appeared to be, I thought.
Completely real. So it's jumping crush cars, stacked school buses, and three fountains, all in Vegas.
Of course it's in Vegas. Yeah. Of course it is.
Well, the original sites that they were done at. So he's trying to recreate everything perfectly. And I have a feeling he's going to pull it off just fine.
So so this is in three parts, is it? So do we get
one
to
day.
See
so
all
it's
in
a
one
live,
day? So we see the whole entire thing.
Yes. So I'm pretty sure it happened last night while we were asleep.
Yep.
I purposely haven't looked because I want to watch this thing
fair
myself.
Enough.
But they aired it live as a celebration of an anniversary of one of the actual stunts or something like that. And Evel Knievel's son is involved somehow as a coach and this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So very respectful and this sort of stuff. But these are stunts that he did years apart, and instead one guy's going to do it in a 90-minute special.
That is insane.
I wonder what the insurance premium costs.
I have a feeling Travis Pastrana does not have insurance because this guy gets hurt all the time, constantly.
Just do it.
First person to ever pull off a double backflip on a motorbike, all this sort of stuff.
Wow.
He's crazy.
He's got the moves.
Yes.
Yeah,
and speaking of crazy,
yes,
there's been this weird stuff coming from Showcase, I think, Showtime, over the last few weeks. We've got a new show coming, but we can't actually tell you anything about it. We can't tell you who stars in it because there's an NDA.
Oh.
It's in complete lockdown. And Sacha Baron Cohen posted something up this morning that his new show starts next week called Who is America? And he's secretly been filming for a year.
Wow.
Is it one of his typical...
It's an Ali G style.
It is? Oh, fantastic.
TV show. The one bit of footage from the show was him getting Dick Cheney to sign a waterboarding kit.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And apparently it is very strongly anti-Trump because he's very anti-Trump and it's about what the is happening.
Yeah.
Wow.
That sounds cool.
You want to watch it?
Yeah, me too. I'm already on board. And that also explains why this morning when I looked at Twitter, it said, oh, all these people you know are following Sacha Baron Cohen. And I went,
what was that all about?
Yeah, that does make sense. Yes. Ah, that's one definitely to keep an eye out for.
July 15th in the States, so 16th for us.
Not far at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent.
So in terms of all the trailers, I think that's everything. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well done. You've done a lot of trailer watching.
There's so much new stuff coming, and there's only a few more weeks till other things come back. I'm hanging for Wrecked, which is the Lost parody show. And it's,
That'll be fun.
Oh, that'll be good. Yeah.
You'll be enjoying that.
It's not a great show, but I still laugh.
That's the main thing. Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking about video games before, and I know, Ando, you've been a gamer for years.
Yes. I was a gamer before it was cool to be a gamer.
Yeah, you were.
In fact, it was decidedly uncool to be a gamer.
If only YouTube was around back then.
Or if I just decided to get onto that early. Damn it.
Now, with the advent of children, I should say, you've obviously had to...
We didn't invent them.
No, you didn't? Okay, just checking.
We did create them, though.
Fair enough. That's what I get those two words confused all the time. But obviously, your gaming hours reduced because of that.
I've been kicked off. Dougie monopolizes the Xbox these days.
He is dedicated.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Let me tell you that
You're
much.
You're so proud.
I'm so proud. But he's at an age where I'm really looking forward to when he gets into some of the games that I like.
Yeah.
I've been trying to sort of push him towards Fortnite.
He's not interested?
Well, what is big at school and on the soccer fields on the weekend is, I don't know if you guys have played Fortnite, you know you can emote? So you can click a button and you can dance.
Oh, yeah.
And you can buy different dances. Yeah, yep, it sounds crazy, I know, but you can. And so someone will be playing soccer on the weekend, they'll kick a goal and they'll all do the floss. The floss is huge.
Yeah.
And
Dad's,
he's like, no, Dad, you do it like this. And they are actually really good replications of what happens in the game.
So I have a little story. A friend of mine's a primary school teacher, and she works in quite a difficult school. And she had this little boy in her class who, while she was teaching, used to boo her. Just used to go, boo. She's like, hang on. I'm trying to teach you something. Anyway, recently he stopped booing her, but he started slow clapping her. Oh. And so she was telling another child about it, and he goes, oh, that's Fortnite.
Yeah, I was going to say you can slow clap in Fortnite.
So she said, give me something Fortnite related that I can do back to him. He's like one of the dancers. Do one of the dancers.
That's hilarious because that's obviously how Fortnite gets their money, because it's a free game. Like, it's free to play, which is how they've got so many people and kids playing it.
Yeah.
But then, you can buy the dances, you can buy costumes. I was playing a bit of it last night because I'd played a little bit on and off, but what happened is I would land on the island, I'd find some place where no one else went, get a few things, then go, geez, I better run because the storm's closing in, run into where other people are, then get shot in the back.
Yes, that's my experience.
The same thing that happened every single
90% of the time. There is a very high bar of skill
on
there, because there's 100 people on this island.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unlike it's other shooters, you know, you get a point or, you know, some kind of benefit for killing someone.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but this one, the only thing that matters is being the last person.
Yeah. Last man standing.
That's the only thing
it
that
has
matters.
A very Hunger Games feel
it's
about
very
it.
Hunger
you know,
Games.
Being dropped on, go collect the things that you're going to survive with. And then just seeing the names, well, not the names, but the numbers just drop off.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And that the storm idea too, that it's this huge island. It must be 5 square kilometers, I guess, in real scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just slowly
gets closed.
It's a
smaller.
Really great concept. PUBG is the other one, I think, that maybe did that
first. H1Z1 or Z1 did it as well.
Oh, was it? Okay. It's a great concept. And I really like it. Yeah.
It's really cool, except I'm really bad at it. Therefore, I'm angry at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to go and play Stardew Valley for a little bit just to calm myself.
Feel good about yourself. Yeah.
But the thing that's different about other hugely successful online game, multiplayer games is that something like Halo or Call of Duty, the second you would die, you would jump back into the game again and you could seek revenge on whoever killed you. Where this you can't. If you die, you're out of that game. You've got to start a new one.
But it has a very different look as well. It's really bright. It's really colourful.
Like an animation.
It doesn't have that grimy, gritty, almost after-war look to it.
Yeah.
It's you can tell something's happened in the place because there's no one around, really. Yeah. You know, cars are kind of, you know, standing on their side.
And
something's
happened. Every couple of months or month or so, they'll change it. So the last time I played it, there was this huge, like, meteor that had dropped and there was a big hole. And now I've noticed that that hole is starting to get trees on it. I hadn't played it since then. But last night you were talking about how things are, like, a bit cartoony. Mm. Well, I got killed by a man or a kid, I don't know, with a tomato as a head.
Yes.
Sweet.
You had to pay for that tomato head.
Here I am running around looking suspiciously a little too much like Lara Croft. But obviously they've done a deal or something because there's been nothing from, is it Square Enix that do Tomb Raider? I can't remember. But anyway, Tomb Raider. But it is a fun game. I can see how people can get addicted because the minute you die, you're like, I need to get back in. I need to start again. I need to better myself. And people... There's a guy, I can't remember his name, he's a Twitch
what streamer? Do you call
it? Streamer, that's the word. And he played with Drake.
Oh.
Yeah, Drake, the rapper, was playing with him and they got millions, well, I don't know, I'm making this number up, but millions of viewers.
Wow.
It's appropriate, right? So cool, but...
Here's the other crazy thing about Fortnite. It's made, I don't know, whatever, millions and millions and millions.
Yeah.
It's still in beta.
Sure.
It's not the full release of the game yet.
So when was it released?
It was released about a year ago.
Okay.
And they're still refining it. So it's actually a single... Well, the main game is the one that everyone plays at the moment is called Battle Royale. Mm. Everyone's shooting everyone else. The single player one is sort of... you versus all these computer-controlled characters in a zombies in a post-apocalyptic world. You've got to collect resources, craft them.
Sounds like my jam.
I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah. That you can play that now, but you've got to pay.
It sounds very different.
It's really
very
different
games.
Well, it's kind of the Battle Royale was like the tacked-on bit, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't even supposed to be there.
And so you said it sort of looks very cartoony, and it does, but it's actually like the mechanics are very good. Like it's got bullet drop and, you know, it's all of the hardcore things that you would expect in a Call of Duty or Battlefield or
but
something like that.
But with bright greens and purples and blues,
and,
you know.
And people with tomatoes for hands and stuff.
And you arrive on a bus being carried by a hot air balloon.
Yes.
Like you couldn't get more comical.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It
must be so close to the Venga bus.
It's coming.
It has to be. Now, Tom, I know that that's not your kind of game. Have you tried it out at all, seeing it's just a free game?
Yeah, I had like two rounds and I died pretty quick.
Just got shot in the back, didn't know where they came from?
I tried building a fort.
The building's hard.
It wasn't easy. Yeah. And I thought, I got a hang of what this is and I can talk about it with the kids.
Yep.
You can floss now. Yep. You know how to do the floss.
Do a slow clap.
Slow clap.
It's flossing. But,
it's too aggressive for me. I don't play too many aggressive games. I play real mellow. Well, I say, I'm playing Jurassic World Evolution at the moment, which is a theme park game where you build Jurassic Park and... things go awry, as you would imagine. So that's.
Do you have dinosaurs eating tourists?
Yep.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be disappointed if that wasn't.
Yeah,
true. It's a key part
Surely
of
that
the game.
Fits into a rye.
Well, your progression chart. You've got to choose between security, entertainment, and research.
Yeah, right.
So you can get more dinosaurs, better rides, or not die.
Not dying is good.
And you start, the first few games, it's all about let's not die. And then you realise it's way more fun to play the other two.
Yeah.
occasionally have to mop things up. That's as close as I'm getting to
it. Get the bucket out.
Yeah. So it's not, there are elements in it that are very cartoony.
Mm.
And, you know, seeing giant dinosaurs stepping out and squashing people, just knocking around and stuff like that.
Is it addictive? Like, do you find yourself when you're not playing it thinking about playing it? Because that's when you know it's a good game.
Yeah, dreaming about it.
Yeah.
I still dream about Zoo Tycoon 2.
Yeah, okay.
Which
so
I've been playing
yours.
Since like 2003.
Really?
It's really old and I keep getting back into it.
That's great.
15 years. Going strong. Got your money's worth there.
Yeah, that's right.
It's still modded. People are still making mods for it and this sort of stuff today. So
it still lives on in a community. Yeah. Yeah,
new
great.
Skins and
from
stuff.
Frontier.
It is.
Ah, I like Elite Dangerous, which Frontier.
Sure.
Made. Yeah.
Now, Elite Dangerous, is that back
that's
from
a whole
them?
Other thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
So like a big buck hunter.
Okay. Yep.
I don't know. No, no, no. Maybe I think this is a spaceship game. So you remember they had so they did Frontier Studios did Roller Coaster Tycoon. Mm-hmm. So when you said Zoo Tycoon, yeah, I thought, I wonder if that was the same studio.
I think there was some involvement, and Blue Frog, who was involved more in the Zoo Tycoon, went across.
Okay, that makes sense. Something like that.
There was a merger.
Okay, okay.
So you're a spaceship game enthusiast at the moment.
Yep.
Okay. Is it because you want to be in Star Wars?
Yeah, I do. Basically, I felt I wanted to be Han Solo.
Yeah,
and
fair
have
enough.
My spaceship fly around the galaxy.
So it's the rogue.
I'm the rogue. Oh, yes, very much.
Not the soldier.
Very much the rogue. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But it's a very grindy, there's a lot of time just travelling from one place to another. It's,
oh, really?
It gets pretty dry.
Can you like keep a button on, like wedged on, and then go make a cup of tea?
You don't even need to do that. You
oh,
just
really?
Go and make a cup of tea and come back. No, I'm still here.
So that happened last night when I was watching Leah play Fortnite. I didn't realise that once you died, it switched straight into watching the person who had killed you.
We were spectating.
But Leah was
it
on
says
the
spectating
phone.
On it, but
I didn't see that. And so I'm watching her thinking,
really good.
She's gotten really good at this. And then I'm looking over at her. She's on the phone, hands not even touching the controller. And I'm looking, I shouldn't be telling people this story.
She's so good, she doesn't even need to touch the controller.
She wasn't touching it. And I'm thinking, did she just press like a whole heap of buttons and then hands off?
Oh,
and it just kept doing it because it kept doing, it would stop and dance and then it stopped and it cried. And I'm thinking, maybe it's crying because she's not moving it.
Which games do? I remember years ago, it was the very first Sonic game, and if you stopped touching the controller, he'd cross his hands, tap his toes, and look at you in a really accusing manner.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if he still does because I haven't played Sonic for years.
Hi, I'm the voiceover guy, and I've got no pants on.
Speaking of things that haven't existed for years, the 1980s.
Mm. Great time.
And I have finished over the weekend watching Glow Season 2 on Netflix, which is the women wrestler. What was it called? The gorgeous...
Ladies of Wrestling,
based on... The Glorious Ladies of Wrestling.
Is it Glorious or Glamorous?
Can't remember. Yeah. Gorgeous?
Gorgeous.
Don't remember.
All works. G.
All of them.
Just
all
Glow.
Works.
Yeah.
It's
just
G
glow.
Adjective.
The second season was felt a little more 80s. You know those 80s movies that you used to get out for $2 for 7 days? And they would have those really stupid jokes and really terrible acting, and you go, oh, this is really good because I'm a kid and it's funny. And then you watch it later and you go, why did I ever think this was great? Well, they had a whole episode pretty much based on those really bad comedy things.
Yeah, right.
But they did it on purpose.
Yeah.
It was all skits that they had done themselves that then went on to this basic cable network or whatever it was. And I got through this whole second season in approximately 4 days.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, it was good impressive. It's so fun. It's one of those shows that you can just sit there. It's not heavy. It's colourful. Mm. They're being 1980s. So
have you laughing
great.
Out loud? Is it
there
that?
Were moments where I was laughing out loud, and the end of this season was such a 1980s end of a movie.
Did it involve someone punching the air?
No! I'm surprised it wasn't a slow clapper.
Yeah.
It was very like they get on a bus and they try, like it's just, and they're doing the farewell. You know how like in all those school camps movies and they would have the parents saying farewell at the beginning and then they'd have the, you know, the new friends or boyfriend, girlfriend saying goodbye at the end. It was all that sort of stuff.
Nice.
It was amazing. They got even the 80s tone right to the point where you stop thinking it was a remake. You know, without pretending to be 80s.
Yeah.
Steph, I reckon you would like this show.
I'm going to have to get onto it.
I did see the first show of the first series,
and I
did like it.
It was nothing.
I just one of those ones that you're going, oh yeah, I'll put that on my list. And I just never got back.
Yeah,
to it. It's still on there, but yeah, maybe I'll give it another go.
Netflix will occasionally tell you. You remember you've still got. Do you want to watch it again?
I'm trying to live a life. Here.
Yeah.
Let me go, Netflix.
That's right.
I've got stuff stuff to do.
Trying to do this video game where I make a cup of tea whilst I'm flying across the universe. Tidy, you've been watching some stuff this
yeah,
week?
I've been watching. Now, this is not a new recommendation because I'm a little bit behind.
But is it a re-recommendation?
No, I haven't recommended it before.
Oh, right. Okay.
But it was The Good Fight Season 2. So I don't know if you've seen The Good Fight.
Is this the spin-off of The Good
Wife?
The
Good Wife, yeah. So it takes up, in Season 1, it takes off a year after The Good Wife finishes. And that's the one with Juliana Margulies and Chris Noth, who's big.
Oh, Mr. Yeah. Big from Sex and City.
And it, look, I thought The Good Wife started off quite well. It's a courtroom sort of drama, but it becomes quite sort of political because her husband is a politician, basically, blah, 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 blah. And it kind of, you know, got a bit boring towards the end. Anyway, The Good Fight stepped up and has just rewritten it and been incredible. So it comes in where one of the main partners of the law firm, so she's one of the secondary characters in The Good Wife.
Yeah, right.
She's about to retire. She's made all this money, put all these investments in. Just about to retire, and a big scandal happens, and one of her close friends who looks after her investments stole all the money.
Ooh.
And so she now can't retire. And that does sound a little bit boring, I get that. But
sounds like real life.
But what happens is, what I think is the really clever spin on it, it has followed the Trump journey. So episode one of season one is actually called The Inauguration, and it follows Trump's journey almost step by step. I don't know how they're getting away with it, quite frankly, because it is so spot
pretty
on.
Overt.
Wow. Absolutely.
Yeah. They got 96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's really good. Season two, because obviously everything's already happened in 1 year's life of Trump as president.
A lot's happened.
It's now calling, like, you know, the episode is called Day 438. So that's 438 days of Trump.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, she is an avid Hillary supporter. And so this really difficult thing of who to believe, how do you follow it? She has to join an all-black firm. She's obviously white.
Right.
And one of them is an avid Trump supporter. And so then they get pulled into this group of the P tape, you know, with Trump, the P tape. Yeah. So I don't know how they're getting away with it and not getting caught with it. It's a really good show. It's very clever. It's very smart.
Netflix as well?
It's SBS.
SBS. Oh,
so SBS On Demand. I don't know if season one would be there anymore, but maybe you could get it on, you know, iTunes.
Yep.
But I will say their opening scene, their opening credits,
like
title is the best opening credits I've ever seen before.
Really?
I will not be able to explain it well enough, but it just has this classical music that kind of, you know, it gets bigger and bolder and it's got these big drums that come in. But every time a drum comes in, it's just got this inanimate object like a vase and it blows up. It explodes
that's
but
cool.
It's done in slow motion. It's really
nice.
Cool.
I like it.
Usually I would skip intro.
Are you watching it?
I watch it every single time.
Amazing.
It's really, really good.
Cool.
So if you like it, I would say give it a go.
Do you have to have watched The Good Wife?
Look, I don't think you have to.
Okay.
You get more from it because a lot of the characters come back and you go, oh, she's switched sides. You know, now I'm seeing more of that character because now she's not under the facade of that particular law firm anymore.
Right.
But, yeah, you'll still get enough out of it watching The Good Fight.
Cool.
But it's just stepped up. It's quite clever.
Nice. I'll check it out.
All right. And free as well. So
yeah.
Even
like
better. And have you been watching anything of note that we should watch?
You know what I'll tell you what I have been watching because I kind of got through most of the things I wanted to watch on Netflix and I went to iView and noticed that all the old Mighty Boosh are there, season one, two, and three.
Cool.
And I haven't watched it for yonks.
Yeah.
And so I've just been like binge watching Mighty Boosh and it holds up really well. I really, really like it.
I watched one recently and I thought the same thing.
It's weird.
It's just as ridiculous as you remember it.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of that, his name Howard Moon, who's
Julian Barrett.
Julian Barrett. He's got a movie on Netflix called Mindhorn, which I highly, highly recommend. So he's a washed up 70s action movie. A fan confuses him with reality and hilarity ensues. It's a real sleep. Like the only reason I watched it was because Julian Barrett was in it.
Yeah.
And it is hilarious. I strongly recommend
it. What was it called again?
Mindhorn, because he's got an eye patch that he can read people's minds with.
Yes, he can.
In the show that he did. And it's not about him being a washed up actor afterwards. It's really good. Sounds it's really funny.
Nice. Way more hilarious version of Birdman.
It's a bit like that, actually. Yeah.
Way more hilarious.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
Tom, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago off the podcast about how we remember 80s and 90s movies, like kids' movies, having super scary bits. Like when you're a kid, you watch it and you were really scared of that particular bit to the point where like you would hide behind the lounge, you'd fast forward it, all that sort of stuff. And you made a point that you didn't think that many or any kids' movies these days are anywhere near as scary.
No, I've been rewatching a bit of stuff and I'm looking at things that I can watch with my daughter. So I'm really keen to watch Gremlins with her.
How old's your daughter?
Five,
okay.
So I sat down and watched Gremlins again, and I kind of watched that with my daughter. Not for a while. And then same with Gremlins 2. And Gremlins 2 specifically got me thinking of these moments that are etched in my mind. So there's the moment in Gremlins 2 where I'm pretty sure it's Spike, or it might be Mohawk. One of the gremlins shoots himself up with the arachnid juice.
Spider.
That's ingrained in my brain. Or in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, when he takes the Judge Doom takes glasses off and he does the, "Hey Eddie, remember when I killed your brother? I don't like this." Every kid remembers that stuff.
Yep.
There's no moments like that anymore. You even look at like, I'm nervous to show her Bambi because death is not confronted much in films these days. Now, there are exceptions. You get something like Up.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's just killing parents. That's just 10 minutes of tears for the parents.
Kids.
The kids aren't really getting that connection. So I'm worried that we had context for this stuff back in the 80s when we were watching that, because there were so many films that had ridiculous moments or over-the-top fearful moments. Even things like E.T. There's a lot of scary moments.
There's a lot of scary bits.
But it was there was always that moment of hope or coming through, unless it was a horror film, which you weren't supposed to be watching.
It was a complication that you just had to live through.
Exactly. Yeah. The Goonies, you know.
I watched The Goonies just the other day, actually.
I love The Goonies.
Doesn't it hold up?
It does. It holds up really
well. So good. And how much do you still want to be one of those kids?
I do. I pretty much, definitely.
But, you know, there's perfect examples in that film of things that are scary that when you get to know them are not scary, and it's your own fears.
Well, it was interesting because I watched it with my boy, and he's 8, and he was scared in it, sure. And I'm like, what are you scared about? Like, man up, you know. And but he was, and he's seen he's in a lot of movies and stuff, and but he does this thing where he pretends he's not scared. I just go to the bathroom. He's like, didn't you just go like 2 minutes ago? Yeah. And you sort of like, you'd hear him go out and then just wait by the door. Yeah. I was like, all right, I'm finished. Like,
okay, thanks.
So I hear what you're saying, but I wonder if it's, if we were to watch a newish movie or a modern movie. Mm-hmm. At that age, if we would still be scared.
Genuinely scared.
I wonder if it's hard to put yourself in that same frame of mind. I mean, I was saying to Dougie, oh, you've got to watch The Goonies. It's great. I'm like, it's that nostalgia thing again.
Yeah.
And he's seen all these, like, movies are produced with a lot of polish these days. He's going to see it and not like it. But it did, like, he was really interesting watching him watch it.
Yep.
He was just captivated. He was scared. Yeah. He went on that whole journey.
It's a
with
good
it
story.
All.
The storyline holds up. I mean, I'm a teacher, so I've spent a lot of time with kids, and they get really scared about certain things. And if we have to watch things, I always say to them, I'm like, block your ears, because you're still watching it. But often it's the soundtrack behind, it's the noise that actually gets you scared. And I've done it myself, where I've blocked my ears. I don't like horror stuff. I can cope with what I'm seeing. But it's that emotive music behind. And kids, you go, say, block your ears, and they do it. And then they go, oh, yeah, that wasn't too bad. Like, see, you just lived through it. You're okay.
Or else you self-edited it. Like I said, fast forward bits. I remember the beginning of the first Ghostbusters, you know, with the librarian.
Oh, that was so scary. Yeah.
I just fast forward that bit and the movie would start just after that.
Or the Lion King when the dad died. I just used to do what Dougie did. I used to like walk out the room for a bit. Yeah, come back, like, all right, that bit's done.
Can I throw in another recommendation that really holds up? And it might be right age for it, but do you remember the Monster Squad? Did you see that?
I do.
I need an image. Vague in a lot of people's memories, but it's an 80s movie. There's one night every 100 years where Dracula, if he gets particular gem, can open up a portal to hell and make all the monsters come through.
Yeah.
So he teams up with the creature from the Black Lagoon, Frankenstein, the Wolfman,
Amazing.
The Mummy. And these kids, That, you know, they have a monster squad and they meet in their backyard in the treehouse and they find out this stuff's going on and they find Van Helsing's journals and they decide to fight back. And there's some genuinely scary moments in there, but the scariest moment of that in the film is the old man that lives on the corner who's got a house and they're worried and, you know, you've got to go knock on his door.
Yeah.
And when they actually knock on the door and he's an old German man that comes out.
Yeah.
And they quickly learn that the scariest thing in their world was not the monsters, was fear of that guy.
Yeah.
They get to know him. He's really nice.
Yeah.
And he's like, I do not know why you're afraid of me. And they say, we thought you were a monster. He goes, child, I've met real monsters. And he rolls up his sleeve and there's a Nazi tattoo on him. And it's like, that's something that today feels even stronger with what's going on in the world. But in terms of fighting fear, that movie is fantastic.
Oh, check that out again.
And that's very similar to the theme of The Goonies as well.
Yes.
Yeah. As you were saying, that Home Alone with the scary old man neighbor. Mm. Like, Kevin Lannister? No, McAllister. I always think Lannister and then I think, no, he's not Cersei's brother. He spent the whole time trying to get these two home intruders and burglars out of his house, yet he was scared of the neighbor next door.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like the context, kid context.
Yeah.
I was scared of the Burbs when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was terrified of that.
I forgot about that movie.
Did it have Tom Hanks in it?
Tom Hanks and Corey Feldman.
It was the furnace or something in the basement that just had me on.
Yeah, that's right.
I was scared of Coneheads. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I saw the poster and something about it.
Yeah.
That was
I'm not having a piece of that.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know how Coneheads would hold up these days. I know it's a Saturday Night Live thing, but...
I was thinking of as well what you could remake today with modern tech, and I think Home Alone screams for a remake because my kid loves Home Alone, but she's 5 and she's already said, where's her phone? Where's his phone? If there was a mobile phone, that situation
solved everything.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'd love to see them take a stab at it today.
Yeah. Interesting. Jumanji style, just to a completely different story. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
You'd have to because of the phone thing. Yeah.
Mm. That's a good point.
I like it.
Tom, have you watched anything else this week?
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
I've watched a few things.
What have you watched?
So the thing I enjoyed most this week was I went and saw Ant-Man and the Wasp.
And?
It was great
Any
fun.
Good? Oh, yeah.
Really fun.
I heard it did really well.
It is the best Honey, I Shrunk the Kids sequel. it captures that
Speaking
vibe.
Speaking of great
perfectly.
80s movies.
Yeah, exactly. It's so good.
It captures that vibe perfectly. It's the Marvel's first... Well. And the first Ant-Man was very family film, but this is a proper family film. I'm going to take my daughter to see it.
Yep.
There's very little violence. You know, there's slapstick fighting and that sort of stuff, but it's all really inventive of shrinking big and small. And whereas the first film, it was just Ant-Man shrinking. This time, there's the Wasp, so there's female.
Yeah.
She's far more confident than him.
Yep, nice.
But there's also... They have like a giant lab that they shrink down and have on a pulley that they can pull around.
It's awesome.
I don't want to spoil anything because the visual effects are so inventive.
Yeah.
It has the greatest use of a toy from my youth. Like something that was massive in the 80s.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
Do you want me to just...
Yeah,
do it.
So they carry around a box of Hot Wheels.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
And with actual cars.
They are all actual cars in there, and they're all real sick cars that they just went around and stole and shrunk.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, really, really good fun. Very, very upbeat and light. It's actually set a few days before Avengers Infinity War. Or at some point. It's set between Captain America Civil War
and Infinity
War.
I wondered where it was going to be.
And it does very much explain why Ant-Man was not in Avengers.
Okay, good.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good.
So I'll say no more there.
Okay.
I also watched Super Troopers 2. Which I don't
know
if you remember.
They made a sequel.
Crowdfunded.
Really?
Yeah. They tripled their goal within 3 hours or something.
Wow.
It was really good. I laughed my ass off.
Oh, wow.
You know,
same actors and...
Everyone back.
Yeah.
All the same. Even Brian Cox is back.
Okay.
Cool.
New people like Rob Lowe and...
I like Rob.
Yes, it involves a small Canadian town on the border where the border may have been laid out wrong, so they get assigned to take over this Canadian town. Yep.
That's amazing, eh?
Fun.
Yes.
Fun.
And everyone's back doing the same shtick. They repeat some of the jokes.
That's okay. It's long enough.
You got it. You want.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's what you want.
Running jokes.
I really enjoyed it. And I'd say if you enjoyed the first one at all, give this one a check out.
Yeah,
it's,
cool.
It's really dumb. Nice. speaking of dumb, there's a new show on Comedy Central that I really enjoyed. It's called Mostly for Millennials. Four as in the numeral. And it's
Sick Bro.
Yeah, it's executive produced by Eric Andre, who you know I love.
I know the name.
He has a show called The Eric Andre Show, and it's bizarre, and he's out there to offend his guests.
Oh, okay.
So he'll hide rotting shrimp in the chair that they come out and talk to him on, and it's very weird, very offensive and aggressive. So he's teamed up with this guy whose name is Derek Beckles. And Derek Beckles looks kind of like a really skinny Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
And it's, yo, millennials, we're going to learn about what's hip with you. And it's this weird mix of stuff that is very relevant to millennials, but it's being hosted by a guy who's clearly about 40 and trying desperately to be hip and cool with them.
Sick bro.
Yeah.
Like I said,
so
like, if he needs a fill-in, like...
The show's musical host is Fred Durst, a.k.a. DJ Durst.
Oh, no! He,
like, does all the... record scratches.
Oh, no.
It's really painful and cringy, but I've seen two episodes so far and I thought it was top notch.
Excellent.
Cool. Mostly
that
for millennials.
Hilarious.
And a few other things quickly that I checked out. There's a show called Breaking Big, which follows the story of people of colour who have done great things in media in the last few years. And it was an episode about Danai Gurira from Black Panther and Walking Dead.
Yep.
Cool.
It was very interesting.
She's Michonne.
Yes. So she's a famous playwright as well. She's
really?
She's written a couple
You know what?
Of
when I see her interviewed, I feel like she's from the theatre.
Very much so.
Good.
She's got real theatre
instincts. Walking Dead was her first major role.
Wow.
Like and Melissa.
Then, yeah, and Black Panther's her first major film role. So she's done pretty good. Yeah, there's another episode that I saw a few weeks ago on Trevor Noah. A couple of, you know, different people each week, but it was very interesting.
Breaking Big.
Yeah, Breaking Big, very interesting looking. I've been excited about a show called Extinct or Alive, which is a guy that...
Oh, did you mention this the other day?
I did.
The other day. The other episode.
Yes.
Yeah, the other day when
that was also
was
the other day.
That's right. You know, when I was in the back seat of your car. This is the guy that successfully, he thinks, tracked down the Zanzibar leopard.
Yeah.
Well, each episode, it's different stuff. This week, he was looking for the Paki lemur.
Mm. Oh.
I know, which is...
I've been wondering what's happened to that thing.
Haven't we all? So lemurs only come from the island of Madagascar. It split off from Pangaea 80-plus million years ago, so it had its own evolutionary path, and they don't have felines there in any way, so lemurs grew to be the biggest one, but they had like giant lemurs, and they've believed to be extinct for thousands of years, but people have been sighting weird stuff. So he spent, you know, he spent 2 weeks in the jungle in Madagascar, and he found what it probably is, which is a very large lemur called a red ruffed lemur that's almost extinct. And then they didn't know was in this particular section of the island. So he did actually track down what it was.
Bad news about the good news.
Yes.
At the same time.
So he found out what it was that was causing these concerns and the superstitions in the tribes and stuff like that. And actually helped the government step in and set up an EPA area.
Incredible.
Protection.
How big is a giant lemur?
So this, I think they were about 7 feet, 6 feet.
Wow, that's pretty big.
Didn't expect you to say that.
No.
Yeah. And like,
I thought you were going to say big dog or something.
No.
That's insane.
It's pretty big.
Oh, that would freak you out, I think.
Yeah.
Well, look, Australia had the best big animal. We had the proper, what's called megafauna.
Yeah.
I'm all about my megafauna.
An enormous wombat.
Yeah, wombats the size of Range Rovers and stuff. That's awesome.
I have a friend who is sure, absolutely convinced that he saw one. In the Blue Mountains.
Sure.
Near Jenolan Caves.
Okay. Yeah.
It was at 1 a.m, but I should get him on one time to talk about it because he's absolutely convinced.
I'd love to talk about that. Yeah. Mega raptors and stuff like that.
He doesn't seem crazy.
He does enjoy his psychedelics though.
Could have been an off night, didn't it?
You know I like my food shows.
Yeah,
so
who doesn't?
Well, yeah.
One that I watched, I won't dive in again on, was called Dallas Cakes. They make cakes. They're from Dallas.
Brilliant.
Says it all.
Yeah. Oh, I said they were doing a Jurassic Park themed cake. That it wasn't really. They just made a dinosaur.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Dinosaur cake.
It looked tasty.
I've got the Woman's Weekly cookbook.
Yes,
I've done that. Yeah.
Easy.
You need
easy.
To watch the dinosaur episode on Nailed It.
Sure.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Truly brilliant.
Okay.
The other show, it's new, called Burger, Brew and Q.
Bugaboo and Crepe. I can't even say that.
It's difficult to say. So, and it's a guy that goes around eating great burgers, great barbecue, and drinking beers. Oh,
I thought you were going to say, and playing pool. I thought that's where the Q came from.
No, as in BBQ.
Barbecue.
Okay, I get it. I'm slow.
And he self-produced it, obviously.
No. It looks pretty slick.
Yeah?
Yeah, it looks like it's not a. It's not a man versus food challenge thing. It's just like, I'm going to hear... Apparently they make great hickory sauce.
This is the job that we need. What is that?
It looks finger-licking awesome. I'm impressed. And the last show I'll say, I mentioned a few weeks ago in the trailers that Detroiters was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
It is back and it is glorious.
Brilliant.
Oh. So it's kind of a It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia style show. Mm-hmm. Two best friends. They run an advertising agency in Detroit. They are inept. They make terrible advertisements. Yeah. And it's produced by a lot of people from Saturday Night Live. And,
fun.
They've seem to have disengaged with reality from the characters more this season than they did last season.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's great. I like a bit of a change.
They've really gone out. They're idiots now. last season they were kind of just simple, but now they're idiots. It's great.
We are fools. Detroiters. Okay. No. Right. That is so much watching you've done.
I've been
busy.
Impressed. Well, I did have the quiet week the week before.
That's true.
So I had to do a bit of catch up.
You're building up. All right, building up into it. Well, I reckon we will do a bit of Handmaid's Chat in a bit after we do a quiz. This quiz is proudly brought to you by Tidy.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm supposed to do it, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm not partaking in this one. Well, I will partake, but I'm making you do the tricky bit.
Yeah. So it is, I'm not allowed to open my mouth, but I can hum themes of movies and TV shows, and it's like first person in.
Okay.
As usual, I'm going to not keep count because I forget. Okay. I'm too busy about my own performance. So I'm going to start with one that I was watching a bit of last night. We'll see. I'll give you a clue. We're going to go movie first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana Jones.
Oh!
Boom.
Too good.
I'm keeping score.
All right, we're warming up. We're warming
let's,
up.
Let's end it there.
Okay. Congratulations.
Game of Thrones.
Oh!
Yes, I don't even watch it.
She's the person that doesn't watch Game of Thrones. Yes, she got it.
You said that right into the microphone. Like, wow.
Yeah, sorry.
Terribly sorry
you
for that. I get very excited. I'm just going to wheel my chair back across the room.
All right, let's go a bit different. We're going to do a TV show, but it's going to start like this.
Brady Bunch.
Yes, that's one for one now. I think, Ando.
Let's see. Well, I'll keep scoring.
Sorry, I forgot. That's one for one. All right, we're going to stick to the TV show. Can't think of a movie. All right.
Friends.
Yes! You notice I didn't do the clapping?
I needed the clapping.
Really needs
my
the clapping.
My OCD didn't like that.
Just half a second behind.
I just need a little bit longer of that one.
You need a little bit longer?
Yeah.
Okay, this one's going to be hard. Or maybe easy, I'm not sure. But let's see how we go.
Coronation Street?
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh. EastEnders.
Yes, EastEnders.
I needed the...
I know, right? But like once Pat? Again, it's the clapping. I think it would give it away.
I think it's the sound of Pat falling down the stairs. That's
how it sounds. Ow!
That was very good. Okay, so this one's probably going to be the hardest and the last one. Mm. Oh, I don't know how. I don't even know whether to do this one or pick another one because I'm pretty sure I'd be the only person who would know the theme song.
Give it a go.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah, because if we don't get it,
if we don't jump in after 10 minutes.
This is me over and over and over again. On a loop. All right.
Absolutely fabulous.
Oh, thank goodness, because that is literally the end of the song. Will's
before
on fire.
You started, in my head, I was like, she's going to do absolutely fabulous. And then you started making those noises. I was like, that's not...
that's not noises. That's me humming.
Oh, I almost said fame. So I was like, way off.
I had nothing until the last two.
Thank you for saving me. Thank you. That was fun. Look, if you've got any other themes that you want us to do a quiz on, you can always email us or just get on Facebook. Look up We Are the Watchers, and we're there.
When are you dropping your album of Leah hums?
Really soon. It's really soon. I need a Kickstarter though, like Super Troopers, because I need a whole proper, like, I not only want a proper studio, but I want backing singers, and I want them to be Jay-Z and Beyonce. And we're doing it. That's where we're doing it. Spoiler time.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
Now, you guys don't watch The Handmaid's Tale, but...
I watched a bit of it.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. So you know the
story.
So
what happened, and this is what's happened with Westworld as well. So me and my good wife start watching a show together. Mm-hmm. One of us is away for some reason.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, I'm going to watch it. And then you come back and it's like, well, I can't go back. And then we just get this stalemate and, you know.
So you've got to have the rule. You've got to have the show that you watch together and only together.
Yep.
The show that you watch when they're not there.
Yes. So we've got this rule. And so we made this mistake before. So with Westworld season 2, it was like, right, this is the rule. We have to be together.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And how are you going with it?
Well, really badly because we're on the couch, we're watching it, and then it ended, and I was like, oh, it was a really good episode. Nat.
Yeah.
She fell asleep. We're like, no!
That happened with my husband with The Handmaid's Tale, because I'd always made sure I watched it on a weekend when he wasn't there. Because he's really noisy.
He's
and he talks the whole way through it. One day I couldn't help myself, and I had to watch it when he was there. And he, every 2 seconds... What's happening?
Who's that?
Why have you not shown me this show? I think I would like this show. Tell me what's happening. So then I tried to sit him down to episode 1 of season 1. He fell asleep.
That's great.
Like, you're ruining it.
You're better off you just explaining to him what happens each episode. Yeah. So we are one episode away from the finale of season 2. Now, season 2 has gone way beyond the book. Mm. The book finished pretty much with season 1.
With season 1.
I think I mentioned this, but I felt like there were little bits of narration in this season that were from the book. If I'm wrong, if I'm right, yeah, well done.
There's also been little bits in season 2 where, you know, in the book they never actually made mention of what her name was. There's a sentence where she mentions a few women's names, and the whole thing of The Handmaids is they don't use their real name. They're called Of and their commander, so
Fred.
Of Fred or Of Glenn, those
of
sorts
Justin.
Of things. Yeah, and they've made mention of so many women's names in this particular season. I wonder if the names are not what was written in the book initially.
Yeah, potentially. Potentially.
Good theory.
Yeah. So June had her baby. We knew that. Baby's been taken back by the Waterfords. I just love this Serena and of Fred / June relationship. Like, they are, it's like they're in year 10 and it's an all-girls high school, and they go from being besties to worst enemies and then back to besties in the space of days, these two. Like, they are literally the worst.
Yeah. And neither of them have any power because they're women, but they're constantly fighting for that power over each other, and I think that has a huge, huge thing for the fights, because they can't take it out on anyone else apart from each other. But again, it can't be an overt, you know, bitch fight where they're standing in the playground yelling at each other.
You can't do
that. It has to be very underhanded. But what I noticed this particular episode, The Handmaid's Tale has a very specific palette. So the colours are very much part of the story. And, you know, I think they're really clever because they change directors every sort of 2 episodes, those sorts of things. And so the palette has to be something that they keep. Mm. Anyway, they brought the baby home and the palette changed.
It was
Did
lighter,
you notice that?
Wasn't
it was
it?
Very light. Mm-hmm. And then as the episode continued, that light just disappeared. And that is a total representation of Gilead. Just like where you think everything is shiny and new and we follow God's law and it's all wonderful. Actually, it's pretty shit.
It's a really crappy place to live.
It's
and
awful.
And there's never a happy thing that happens.
Well,
if there is
not
a happy
if you're a commander.
Thing,
it's
true.
I see an upside from a certain perspective.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good point. And speaking of commanders, we were introduced to a new bloke.
Mm.
His name is, what's his name? Joseph somebody?
Mm. Oh.
otherwise known as Bradley Whitford, otherwise from, oh, I guess, yeah, West Wing, but more importantly, Cabin Nerds in Paradise, Revenge of the Nerds, number two. Oh. Cabin in the Wood as well.
Cabin in the Woods. Mm. He's one of the tech operators downstairs.
Yeah, right.
Oh. He's in so much stuff.
He's in a show called The Good Guys with Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
They were cops. It's a great show. Mm. It's got Clementine from Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
it's
nice. Oh, you were talking about that.
I love that show. It's only 20 episodes. Really underrated.
Well, there's only now, how many episodes of Handmaids would there be? 26, I guess? Mm-hmm. Is it 13 an episode?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Funnily, that unlucky number. But, yeah, I'm very excited about what's going to happen with the season finale. Because surely Serena, aka Mrs. Waterford, she's got a crack.
She's cracking. She's cracking.
This world that she's helped create of Gilead, she's suddenly realizing it's pretty crap. And in fact, last episode, she's like, all I wanted was a baby. Well, you've got it, but it's not yours. Mm. And it's painfully obvious that it's not yours, even to you. You're trying to pretend, but
it's been very clever this second season for stepping completely away from the book.
Yeah.
They did, you know, they paid respect to it and they brought Margaret Atwood in for the second season and in through the script writing process, which has done a huge favour to them. But every time you think you might know where the show might go, completely, like, pulls the rug out from underneath
you.
So you could never expect where this season was going to go. And I know a lot of people after the first season said, I'm not going to watch it. Mm. You know, it's past the book. I'm not doing it. It's too violent.
They've missed out.
Yeah, they've really missed out. It's one of the most intriguing, clever pieces of...
Tense.
Yeah, storytelling I've seen in a really, really long time. And it's been sitting so closely with what's happening in real life, almost week to week, you know, with the children being removed from their parents at the border. That's what's happened in Gilead. Like, it's just, I don't know how they're doing it, but it is so clever. I think, you know, it should be a watch for everyone.
Art imitating life.
Absolutely.
Oh, so is.
Are they setting it up for a third season, do you think? Yes.
Yeah, it has been signed on. I don't know if they started filming.
not happened for them to be a third season.
Well, if it's making money, why would
it? Yeah, exactly. Hulu, I think it's probably Hulu's biggest program, at this point in time. You were talking about how things can, you think it's going to go one way for a season and then do another. I just watched the latest episode of Wentworth and it was about Frankie. Now, if you haven't watched, I won't say too much, except I was convinced it was going to go one way. Through the episode, through the whole lead up, I'm like, it's going to go. This is the way it's going. It's obvious. It's like completely different to the point where I've gone, oh, they can actually do that.
Cool.
I didn't think that was something that Wentworth would do. And it's kind of like Handmaid's when once again, we potentially shouldn't go too much into what happened, the surprise in this one, but there was a character when they were introduced, you were sure, you were convinced as the audience, they're setting it up so this person does this and suddenly there's going to be a lot of trouble, and it just,
and she had a lot of danger around her, like it made you stressed as a viewer, this particular character.
It was so convincing, and then suddenly just a complete 180, and you're like, didn't see that happening.
It just makes me so intrigued about those writers' rooms.
Yes.
How much fun they're
having. Yes, I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
Far in advance have they got these stories set in stone, because little things, and I'm just not talking about these shows, but you know, Game of Thrones, and even to a lesser extent, I'd say probably Fear the Walking Dead more than The Walking Dead. They have little moments or characters that pop in and you're like, oh, okay, so that's done. And then their storyline or, you know, something, some reference comes back to them seasons later. I love it. So clever. We're very blessed for television shows at the moment. Blessed be. Yes. Unreasonable.
Blessed be the friends.
All that. I think that's going to do it for this week. Ando, thank you so much for coming
on. Thank you. It was lots of fun.
We've had a lot of fun. Yeah. We'll have to nag you in again.
Done.
And Tidy, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll nag you in again as well. Or you'll nag yourself in.
I'll invite myself like I did today.
Fantastic. Tom?
#blessed.